Welcome to the Grace Point Publishing Podcast. Join us on a journey with our authors as they explain the meanings behind their message, discuss what inspires them to write, and share the many parts of their book publishing journey. And now, here's your host, best-selling human design author and co-founder of Grace Point Publishing, Karen Curry Parker.
Hi, Toby. It's so exciting to have you here. I am really looking forward to us having what I think is probably one of the most important conversations that we can have about reforming the criminal justice system. I want to start with just a little bit of a background about what we've talked about before. We spoke with Justin Brooks, who is the executive director of the California Western School of Law and one of the founders of the California Innocence Project. And we talked a lot about innocent people being stuck in prison. And one of the things that he touched on in our conversation was that many of the people that he found in prison were in prison, yes, of course, because they had commit crimes, but they had commit crimes because they had a lot of unresolved trauma and had been in situations that were very destructive and hurtful for them. And they didn't really have a lot of understanding of how that trauma impacted their decisions. I want to talk to you about your story. Your story is a story that really surprised and shocked people. You were basically living a regular life as a mom, as a housewife, and all of a sudden you were taking a prisoner out of jail in a dog crate who was your lover. Talk to me about the relationship between your decision or your reaction to your life and how that impacted what you did.
I think that most crimes are committed in a state of desperation, and that's where I found myself. And so from the outside, it looked like I had the perfect life. And I spent my entire life cultivating that image of a perfect life because that's what I wanted people to think I had. And that's what I wanted to believe that I had too. For my whole life, I had served others. I volunteered for anybody that needed anything. I opened the concession stand at my son's soccer team for his high school. I was the dog project leader and the horse project parade director. And anytime anybody asked, I said yes. What I never said yes to was myself. I never joined a book club or went out with girlfriends just to have fun. My whole life was about doing what others needed me to do. And so I felt invisible. I was just talking yesterday to someone else about the similarities between my story and the Vicky White story, which has just been in the news. And I think that when lives seem perfect, there's something wrong because no life is really that perfect. Vicky White was the same. She was Employee of the Year over and over and over. And when we smother ourselves by doing for others and creating this facade of a perfect life, we are in such a depleted state that suddenly helping someone escape from prison sounds like a good idea because that person that I was trying to help escape noticed me and cared about me. And I felt significant and important and loved when I was with him. And that was something I'd been yearning for my whole life. I just never knew it. I didn't let myself admit it. So I think when you see those people who appear to have the perfect life, that's maybe a dangerous place to be.
So you actually went to prison. Talk to us a little bit about the women you met in prison. Did you find similarities? Let me just back up and say our society has this idea of like a criminal is this person that comes from maybe a lower socioeconomic class that hasn't had good training on how to be a citizen in the world. And through bad choices, they end up in prison and they should be there because they did bad things. Was that your experience of the women behind bars?
There were a lot of women, the majority of women, I think, behind bars did come from a lower socioeconomical class, and they lived lives of just neglect, and for everything they did, they struggled. I think they were pushed to desperation in different ways. It's easy to entice someone to get involved in something criminal if they feel like they have nothing to live for. The majority of the women that I was in prison with, I would put into that category, but I was in prison with someone who was a medical doctor and I had a college degree, and I was in prison with a lot of women who had college degrees. One of the women I was in prison with that I was really close to, she was a wife of a judge. It isn't really true that it's all just women in lower socioeconomical classes. Crime happens by all kinds of people. But I think the common denominator is the feeling of being lost or being insignificant or being desperate and looking for something else in your life.
I want to just ask you to share this part of your story because I think this is a really important part. When you were in prison, you became suicidal, right?
I did, yes.
Why? What hit you about prison that pushed you over that edge?
In prison, you have no authority. I mean, you can't even ask for more toilet paper. Everything is so regimented and so restricted. And I spent 15 months in a for-profit prison, which was so overcrowded. We had 8 women in a cell that was built for 4. It was so overcrowded. There wasn't even room to sit and eat at a table. You had to sit on your bunk and eat. You had to sleep on your bunk. You had to read on your, you spent your whole time on a bunk. I felt like a book on a bookshelf for those 15 months. There was never, at any time when I was in prison, there was never any attempt to rehabilitate anyone or offer something that would let someone build up their opinion of themselves. There was no kind of personal development classes. And if any place needs some kind of personal development, it's people in prison. It just was such a desperate space. So I was feeling maybe less than human because of the environment I was in. But at the same time, I was facing a lot of negative pushback from some members of my family who were embarrassed by the fact that one of their family members were in prison. And it was actually that attitude from my family that actually pushed me into being suicidal.
In other places in the world, I'll say specifically the Netherlands, the goal of the criminal justice system is to rehabilitate people. And there's actually regulations around how someone, when they leave prison, is reintegrated back into society in a way that isn't shameful and allows them to actually take a new place in the world or a healed place in the world. Does our prison system in the United States, is it working?
No, our prison system is not working. The United States has a little over 4% of the world population. We have over 25% of the world's incarcerated population. No one can convince me that we have 25% of the criminals in the world in our country. I don't believe that. Our answer to everything is to throw someone in prison, to stick them in prison for 10 months or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. It's just punishment. I think that's what our prison system is here in the United States, is just a means to punish people. And when you get out of prison, I was never able to get a job at a real company. I had one job for 2 months when I first got out, but nobody hires criminals. They don't hire you if you're a felon, and you have to check on that box that you're a felon. I found it impossible to get a job. Some places won't rent you an apartment if you're a felon. And I just learned, I've been out of prison for 13 years now, and I lived in Massachusetts, I lived in Kansas, I lived in Missouri, and I have voted in every election. And last summer, we moved to the state of Virginia. And I found out after we moved here that Virginia does not allow felons to vote ever. Doesn't matter what your crime was, doesn't matter how long you've been out, doesn't matter what kind of life you're living now. If you have a felony on your record, you cannot vote in the state of Virginia. How in the world can you expect people to move forward from their mistake and rebuild their lives when you won't even let them vote and you won't even hire them? How are they going to make a living and fit into society? They don't. They live on the fringes always. And when you're out there on that fringe, some days some people don't have enough to eat and they can't get a job. And so they decide they're going to shoplift or they're going to do something just to get them through the week. And then they end up right back in prison. And everybody says, oh, see there, you know, when you leave prison, they always come back. Well, they always come back because we don't ever try to help them stay out.
You came out, you had obviously a struggle when you first got out of prison, but you have, in the meantime, written a book.
Yes.
You work with women to help them explore how they can get themselves free from literal and internal prisons. You've obviously done a lot of healing and rehabilitation and transformation. What catalyzed your transformation, Toby?
It was that suicide watch. When I decided I was going to kill myself, I was trying to think of how I could do it. And luckily, I reached out to the prison psychiatrist and she put me on suicide watch for the weekend. For those 3 days, you don't even have a bed. I mean, you're laying on the floor and all you can do is just think. And so the first day I was trying to figure out ways I could kill myself. And the second day I started thinking about my parents and how much they meant to me and how they had been so influential in my life and how it would hurt my mother if I did kill myself. And then on the third day, I heard a voice in my head that told me that I needed to tell my story to change the world and affect lives of other women. And that gave me a purpose and that gave me clarity as to what my mission was. From that moment on, I was resolved to do whatever I had to do to make it through this and to learn from it and to find a way to reach out and tell my story to as many women as I can.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and tell us about your book.
Oh, I'm so excited about my book. It's called Living with Conviction. And what I am really the most excited about is the audiobook because I read it myself. If someone listens to the audiobook, it's not just going to be narrated by someone who has a really great sounding voice. You're going to feel all the emotion and pain as I tell the story and the joy and the beautiful parts. And so I think that really comes through in the audiobook. And I am so excited about it. I just can't wait for it to get out there in the world. And I've already gotten a lot of good feedback from people who've been able to read the advanced reader copy and from women who are buying the book before it's even available. And it's just available in pre-order. I'm just really excited about the ability to bring my story to more women and try to make a difference in the world through it. I've also written a series of workbooks because I realized when I was in prison, I had a college degree and I had a corporate job experience, and I had tools to know what I needed to do to rebuild my life. But a lot of the women I was in prison with did not have those tools. So they would probably all agree that they needed to change their lives, but they wouldn't know how to do it. So I created this set of workbooks to help women through personal development and then learning how to fit into a healthy community and then actually finding a voice and going out and trying to inspire others.
That's really powerful. I think that's it's such a beautiful trajectory on your journey that you took this, what was obviously a shameful for you, at least a shameful experience, and catalyzed it into a place of service. If you could change anything, if you could wave your magic wand and fix the systems or fix what you sense or feel is broken, how would you change the prison system? How we could reconstruct the system to actually have it serve the goal of being a place where people can be healed and rehabilitated?
I think there are several things you need to do. First of all, I would start with some sentencing reform. I would eliminate the death penalty. I would eliminate mandatory minimums. Mandatory minimums take away from the judge the ability to listen to the facts of an individual case and make a sentencing determination based on that case. So there needs to be some sentencing reform. Prisons also need to not be overcrowded. I think we should let people out who aren't there for violent crimes, who really can come back into society and be productive members. We need to get half of the people out of the prisons. There's too many people there. And the prisons are notoriously overcrowded, which just causes fights and tempers and more trouble and more trauma. We need to let some people out of prison. And we need to make our prisons be a place that's comfortable. Every prison I was in was freezing cold. You had to wear long johns, sweatshirts, every piece of clothing you had to wear every day and even to sleep at night because they were freezing cold. I don't know why prisons have to be freezing cold, but they are. And we had black mold covering the walls of the room I lived in Why? Why do prisons have to be these filthy, cold, concrete places that no one would want to spend 10 minutes? They shouldn't be that way. It should be a place where, for the time you're in prison, it's your home and it feels like a place where you're safe. And it never did. Prison doesn't feel like a place where you're safe at all. I think that officers should be paid a lot more money. It's really a low-paying job and it's a difficult job. And so you attract people who maybe can't get any other kind of jobs. I had a lot of experiences where I felt a lot of the officers loved coming to work because for the first time in their day, they could be in control of something. And that just made the whole environment not good. It was just a bad place to be. I think if you paid officers more and you trained officers more in human relations and personal development type things, then the prisons could start to be a place where people who are in prison as inmates would start getting some kind of guidance to become better people. Because if the inmates in the prisons do not come out as better people, then the whole of us, all of our society loses because they're going to do something else evil. We don't know who the victims might be, but if you can bring people out of prison and have them feel good about themselves and have them have a plan for how they can go out and rebuild their lives, then I think the whole world would be a better place. And that should be our objective, not just punishing people.
I want to end with one last thing that you said that really struck me as I've listened to you over the last couple of weeks. As we're recording this, we are a couple of weeks post an event where a prison guard, Nikki White, just broke a prisoner out of jail. They escaped in a shootout. She ended up actually killing herself. There was obviously a flurry and a titillating interest. People want to know, like, why would someone do this? And you kept saying, wait, don't judge. Don't judge. Talk to me for just a minute why we need to be mindful of judging people who make mistakes.
Vicky White in particular, when you look back at her life, she lived an exemplary life. She was Officer of the Year for 4 years. She was going to get it this year. Again, she helped take care of her ex-husband as he was dying. She was a supportive daughter-in-law. She gave to the community. And the community is not a better place because she's gone. If she had been caught, she would have had to go to prison. There's no getting around that. Unfortunately, Vicky couldn't see through the darkness to see the light on the other side because there is light on the other side. And I think Vicky would have come past this and been able to go out into the world and do beautiful things to help other women get past their brokenness. And I'm just heartbroken that she felt that her best option was to take her life. None of us are our worst mistakes. We are all a culmination of all the things we've done in our life. And one mistake that we make should not be the thing that we're judged by. You need to look past that and look at everything else. Vicky lived for 56 years. She did a lot of wonderful things in her 56 years. And she did this one thing that she'll be remembered for forever.
None of us are.
We're not our worst mistakes.
Beautiful. Very well said. Toby, thank you so much for joining us here today. Living with Conviction is Toby Doerr's new book. It is available on all major retail outlets online, and download her audiobook. Great, really powerful read to listen to on the beach for summer. There's a message in your book that I just want to share with everyone. This book is not about your prison bust. This book is about why you made the choices that you made. And I can assure all of you that every single one of us will relate to aspects of Toby's story, and it'll certainly give us all a pause to contemplate our own mistakes, what perhaps created our own mistakes, and how we all can change the trajectory of who we are and change the trajectory of what we're doing in the criminal justice system. I appreciate your insights from your own experience so much. Thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Karen. I was thrilled to be on.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Grace Point Publishing Authors Podcast. We can't wait to talk more next time as we introduce you to another one of our amazing authors. make sure you hit subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss a single episode of the Grace Point Publishing Authors Podcast. To find out more about our authors and to see how we can help you publish your book, head to gracepointpublishing.com. Keep writing. Keep creating. Your words matter.